Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Malden.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. And if you're in the northwest, central-ish Alabama area, if you're in Northport, new Strange Brew coming your way with four drive-thrus. It's an all drive-thru location. Get in, get out, get strange at Strange Brew Coffeehouse. That's a good slogan, actually. Get in, get strange. Out, get strange.
Yes.
Shane, I'm going to need some royalties on that one. If I see that on a t-shirt and I am not getting any money out of that, we're going to have a talk. I'll send John Sokoloff up in there, get a little protection money.
We'll do.
Yeah. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. No matter what role you play in a business, you know what a big role printing plays in your business. You know it's a vital piece of everything your business does. So why not go with the best? And that's Pip Printing and Signs, 30 years of experience. Go to the website, pipridgeland.com, to learn a lot more about what they can offer you, all the various services, what they can do for you in terms of signage, graphics, marketing materials. And then you call Cam Baker and you tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning, and he will take it from there. 601-499-5216. Also, don't forget, if you're a Bulldog fan, this is a deal you can't pass up, because they'll make you a Bulldog Initiative business, and all you got to do is spend the money you're already spending on printing. Just again, tell them you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning, 10% of your sale straight to the Bulldog Initiative. That's a deal you cannot pass up if you're a Mississippi State fan. If you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. They've got so many great items at College Corner, everything to get you through this football season, from the polos while the weather's nice and warm, or to the pullovers and jackets you're going to need when we get into those later months. It's all at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, original by Fleet Feet, flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to grab a great lunch in the city of Starkville, if you're a blue plate person like I am, the only place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Great selection of meat and veggies, cornbread, sweet tea. It's as southern as it gets over there at Restaurant Tyler. Best meal in town, it's easy to find. It's under the one roof. It's at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and let them show you not only where those locations are and you can find the one closest to you, but how they're going to help you manage your money, invest, and prepare for the future. If you're already a Priority One Bank customer, you know about their app. It's a lot more than just moving your money around from account to account there. You can do everything you can do on the website or in a Priority One Bank location. Smooth, streamlined, easy to use, available on every mobile device. Check it out if you haven't already. And check out Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It is Friday. It is the three P's, which are brought to you by our good friends over at Sanders Rentals. Cottonwood Trails, just north of campus, 5 minutes away. Guys, this is what you need to be looking at if you're coming to Mississippi State for weekends. Why are you spending so much money for a hotel room with it's all cramped, there's no amenities, and it's double the price of what they're asking out at Cottonwood Trails for a full cottage with a kitchen, with extra rooms, with more than one TV? This is a no-brainer for you guys if you're looking for game day rentals or any rentals for the weekends where Mississippi State is going to be out. Think about a few weeks from now when it's Bulldog Bash. We didn't talk about that yesterday, but Ludacris is coming to Starkville. If you need a rental, if you need a hotel that weekend, you're going to spend big money. Why not spend with Cottonwood Trails and get a better deal for a better price. That's the one I'm talking about. Call Will Sanders today at Sanders Realty and our Sanders Rentals and tell him you want to hear about it on Thunder and Lightning. 662-769-1412. They've still got rentals available for the whole season. So give them a call today. 662-769-1412. It is the three P's. It is Mississippi State versus Arizona State. It is a game that Vegas, or I don't want to say Vegas, Robbie, because it's not Vegas set the line at 3.5. The betting public has pushed that line up to almost 7 now at this point. Bill Connolly from ESPN's S&P Plus or SP Plus, I don't know what he calls it anymore, his formula, he had State winning this game by 3. He had State winning 28-25. I think I agree with that portion. I don't know that I agree with that score, Robbie. I foresee a high-scoring game between these two teams. Now, that being said, Arizona State, I think Arizona State outside of Vanderbilt might have had the most impressive week one when you take away, like, you know, Clemson beating or Georgia beating Clemson and Florida, Miami beating Florida and all that. When you just look at, like, the teams that nobody's really talking about, Vandy's obviously the most impressive, but Arizona State dominated Wyoming. And I know Wyoming's not that great, but 500 yards of total offense. They only gave up 118 yards of total offense. And 70 of that, I think, was on the final drive of the game. So going into that final drive, Wyoming had 50 yards of offense. They forced a bunch of turnovers. They played with a lot of confidence. I thought Arizona State was very, very impressive. This game went from, for me, you know, 2 weeks ago, I would have said this was a pretty 99% sure State's going to win this game. I'm not 99% sure that State's going to win this game anymore. Arizona State did a lot to sway me this past weekend.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot about both teams after this week. I think we make a lot of rash judgments on teams in week one.
Yes.
Because we don't know anything about the other teams. Usually those teams end up over time telling you who they are. So, you know, Wyoming may be 0-12 this year. I have no clue. It would be right. Step away from what they have been. But all we can do is go on what we saw last week, and the perception of that game is that was a very good win for Arizona State. To beat a team like that, that is usually a solid group of five team. I mean, I don't even know who to really compare them to. I mean, could that be like a Troy or something? I don't know. Maybe a little worse than Troy. I don't know. But if you know, beating a team like that and handling them on both sides of the ball was impressive. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Wyoming is, but it was not expected for Arizona State to do what they did. So I think we will know a lot more about both of these teams when this game finishes. You're going to know, was that a fluke or not for Arizona State? Are they for real? Is Mississippi State going to struggle? I don't know. But they really they need to have a really good showing out in the desert. And if State can go out there and win this ball game, whether or not Wyoming stinks, I don't think that matters. I think this is going to be a really good win for Mississippi State to go on the road and do that if they can.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, this anytime you go on the road, it's a good win. Anytime you can beat another Power 4 opponent, it's a good win. You go on the road and you beat a Power 4 team, that's a good win. There's no dicing that up. I don't care how the season ends up for Arizona State. They could not win another game. And this would still be a quality win for Mississippi State. Tell me if you agree with this, something I said yesterday on Thunder and Lightning Live. If, you know, if State wins this game, I would put their chances of going to a bowl at like 99%, right? I really feel good about their ability to beat Florida and Arkansas here in Starkville. Obviously, I think they can beat Toledo and UMass, and that would be 6 wins, right? If they lose this game, I would drop their chances to below 50%. Of making a bowl game. I mean, because at that point, now you got to tell me they got to go 3-5 in the conference, which means they're going to have to beat A&M or Missouri, or, you know, they have to go on the road and win one of those monster games there. I don't know that I can remember a game in recent memory where State's bowl hopes, I mean, obviously you get to the end of the season, but we're talking about for an early season matchup to have this much weight into what State's going to be all year long. If they lose this game, the postseason flame is almost flickered out.
Yeah, the counter argument to that would be State starts to get better as the year goes on, and like they're kind of going through some ups and downs now, and maybe they beat somebody they're not supposed to. But there's no way to count on that if they lose a game like this. I can't accurately say that State's going to beat like A&M or Missouri or somebody like that if they can't beat Arizona State. It's possible for them to go do that. You know, Arizona last year came to a bad Mississippi State team and lost here and ended up winning 10, 11 games, whatever it was. So, I mean, it's not a complete indicator of your total season success, but the whole thing is it makes things significantly easier for you to get to a bowl game if you win it than if not. And that's, you know, a first grader can come up with that idea. If Mississippi State wins this game, they have a much better chance of getting to bowl eligibility than if they lose. So it just behooves Mississippi State to go win this. And it's also very good for your confidence to go on the road. I don't think that this environment is anywhere close to what they're going to experience in Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss. It's, you know, this isn't going to be close to the top of the toughest environments. If you're not able to go there and handle that, how are you going to be able to go to Neyland and Sanford Stadium, places like that? So I think that's the big thing, is going in there, handling the environment, and preparing yourself for what's coming ahead. If you're able to do that, this team is going to be able to get over a lot of some issues that they might encounter this year.
Yeah, the environment issue is one of, you know, down the road for sure, State's going to be in much tougher environments. You know, almost every other road game they have this year will be a tougher environment. But this is the first tough environment of the year. So this is the first road game for Mississippi State. And for a lot of these guys, I mean, you think about like Devon Booth and Kelly Akari, this is their first real hostile road environment, I would guess. I mean, I guess those guys played some group of five, or played some Power Five schools, but you know as well as I do, when a school like Akari was at UTEP, if Mississippi State hosts UTEP, that's not the most hostile environment in Davis-Wade Stadium. So there's something to the environment for this game. I believe their fans are fired up. They certainly seem to be, you know, the team seems to be fired up. If you heard Kenny Dillingham's comments the other day, that he sounded concerned with his team's attitude, that he thought that they think, well, okay, we crushed Wyoming, we're off and running, and it's not that way. And that's kind of the opposite of what you got from Jeff Lebby on Monday, where he's talking about, our guys know we have to, you know, learn a lot from that win, and we've got a lot of work left to do. I wonder if that plays a role in it. I was really impressed with how balanced, you know, even though I covered a Mike Leach team for 3 years, I didn't forget what balance was. And you look at the numbers for Arizona State, 258 yards passing, 241 yards rushing. They had seven different guys have three or more carries. They had seven different receivers catch passes. Sam Levitt was really good, 14 of 22, 258. His numbers are kind of almost identical to Chapin. Chapin just had more touchdown passes. But from a completions percentage standpoint, pretty close. Like I said, they were just a lot better than I thought they would be. I thought they would struggle with Wyoming. I thought they would win, but they win by like maybe 10, maybe 14 at most. To dominate them the way that they did struck me as impressive. If you're Mississippi State, if you're Coleman Hutzler in this game, Robbie, don't you put this game in Sam Levitt's hands. You just tell this young quarterback, hey, if you can beat us, but we're going to stop the run at all costs.
They need to be able to stop the run to kind of set up the rest of the defense. I thought the short yardage State was really good against Eastern Kentucky, and they should be. You should be able to handle those guys up front, but they gave up some, you know, they gave up some chunk, a couple of chunk plays, and they gave up, you know, some steady drives from Eastern Kentucky. They've got to get a handle on their rush defense, because that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the group. And they really need to, I think they need to mix in some more Dontari Russell, Joe Head, guys that can actually get after the quarterback, because there just was not a whole lot of pressure in that ball game until those guys came in. So, maybe finding the right personnel for the right moments, and that's something that they're probably trying to go through right now. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to make this guy beat me. I want his decision making to make or break what Arizona State does on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm going to bring pressure to him too. I don't think just letting him sit back there and find open receivers or whatever is going to work. I think you need to bring pressure and like you said, make him beat you. So that's going to be an interesting kind of chess match for Mississippi State defensively, how they defend them. They had a solid day on offense. I thought they were pretty balanced. There wasn't a ton of standouts. There wasn't like an individual that I looked at and say, you got to stop this guy. I thought several different guys were able to do good things for them last week, and that's kind of the challenge this week is making sure that you limit what they do on the offensive side of the ball and get them off the field.
Other side of the ball for State, I think Kelly Akari, from what I can tell, is back. I'm expecting him to play at this point based on everything I've heard. And, I mean, that's just another weapon for Blake Shapen. But sort of the same thing we were just talking about there. State's got to be better running the football. They've got to get some more explosive plays out of that running game. You know, as we mentioned, they averaged close to 6 yards a carry last week, but that 41-yard carry by Creed Whittemore kind of skews it. State needs to be closer to that with just the running backs this week. I expect a heavy dose of Devon Booth. He was easily the most impressive of the three guys who got the carries last week. Wouldn't be surprised to see him into the starting lineup and seeing the majority of the carries. Daniel's second, and then Lee, I think Lee's a distant third in that rotation, just based off of what I saw. I don't know what Jeff Lebby's planning to do. But having Akari certainly cannot help Blake Shapen, and he has got a ton of weapons to work with. It's just going to be, can he find them? And does the offensive line give him the ability to do that?
Yeah, the whole rushing attack thing, I'm very interested to see how that plays out this week. It just felt like, you know, maybe they were just getting their feet underneath them, and they should have had more production there from those running backs. But you never really saw anybody get into a rhythm, no matter who was in there. There wasn't a guy that got, you know, 4 or 5 straight carries, or, you know, they kind of let them roll a little bit. Until late in the game, whenever you saw Devon Booth start to kind of get going a little bit, I want to see, you know, some more sustained drives with those guys. And the offensive line, too, they've got to open up holes. I mean, a lot of these runs were getting, you know, hit the line of scrimmage. And any yardage they were getting was yards after contact. So they need some bigger holes to run through. And I think that's going to take a little bit of time for that offensive line to really mesh. But I do think Devon Booth is probably your most dynamic guy there at running back. And by the end of the year, that's going to be the guy that's, in my opinion, is the most productive.
It's interesting to hear you say, like, sustained drives. But at the same time, do you really want to see sustained drives, or do you just want to see 2-3 plays when they're in the end zone? I don't know.
Yeah.
With this offense, what is a sustained drive in the Jeff Lebby offense? 6 plays? Something like that? I don't know.
I wonder what the offense would have looked like last week had we not seen those line drive punts to Kevin Coleman. And
I thought about that a lot.
It felt like they were starting every drive at midfield or across midfield.
He had 117 yards of return game. I mean, I could probably take at least half of that, right? I mean, if I don't get all 117, I'm probably going to get at least 60. So now we're well over 500 yards.
Over 500 yards.
And then also, if it doesn't start raining,
yeah,
you probably have another 50, 60. You're probably closer to 600 yards and probably around 63 to 65 points, something like that.
Like at worst, I think they score
at least one
touchdown.
Yeah, at least one more touchdown.
That's, you know, 59 points. And you don't have a bad snap, that's 62 points. I mean, it could have easily gotten over 60.
Yeah, I mean,
and over 500 yards of offense.
I'm not stretching the imagination to do those things. Yeah. And
no.
The thing is with Coleman is, even with a good punter, I think he's a weapon back there. He's going to give State some opportunities. And so I just feel like State, from a speed perspective, is going to be better off than Arizona State. They've got a little bit more team speed, especially that receiver position. So we'll see how the ASU secondary matches up to that. This will be a really tough challenge for them. It'll be a good challenge for them because it'll get them used to those Big 12 offenses. And that's something that I guess it doesn't really play into account because this is their first time to ever be a Big 12 team. If they was playing Baylor or somebody like that, it might be like, okay, we've seen these offenses before, we know how to defend them. It's the first time around. These are the similarities in Dillingham and Lebby are pretty interesting. Both young guys, young coaches, have been in the game for a long time, despite their age. Offensive guys want to go fast. Both have coached in the SEC prior. Now, obviously, Lebby a head coach one, but he was at Ole Miss. Dillingham was at Auburn for a little while. Very similar career tracks for those guys. And Dillingham, last year, I mean, when we talked to Brad Denny earlier this week, the term year zero was thrown in. And I'm not a huge fan of year zero, but I might be willing to give it to Arizona State. The Herm Edwards experiment was a complete disaster, crushed the program under NCAA sanctions. He just was not a college head coach in any way, shape, or form. And Dillingham, I thought, did a good – they were competitive in a lot of games last year. They just didn't have enough horses to win. He hit the transfer portal hard this year, and it looks like his team has improved. I just don't know if there is improved enough. Some of the comments I'm seeing on message boards and stuff from people who are checking out the Arizona State side of things, that's an awfully confident bunch in Tempe for a team that was 3-9 a year ago and just beat a you know, middle of the park at best group of five team this past year. They seem very confident they're going to walk away with a win in this game.
Yeah, I remember Arizona fans were like that too. Mm-hmm. I think people truly outside the SEC truly underestimate the SEC. They get tired of hearing about the SEC, but even a place like Mississippi State, who recruits towards the bottom of the conference, mm-hmm. is normally a top 25, top 30 recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
So the talent on the field, even in a place like Mississippi State, is pretty good whenever you go out of conference and you play some of these other teams. And I just, you know, I don't know. I truly could see it going either way. I could see Mississippi State going up there and struggling and losing that ball game playing on the road. But to just completely dismiss Mississippi State and act like Arizona State is on the verge of a top 25 ranking or something, I think that's being a little foolish. I think that State is talented enough. They run a high-powering offense that has been successful everywhere. I think overlooking Mississippi State, if that's what they're doing, at least you know within the fan base, is a recipe for disaster. I think that's what Kenny Dillingham is kind of cautioning them against, because they just beat Wyoming. You know, you just played a middle-of-the-pack group of five team that probably recruits in the hundreds. This is going to be a totally different animal. This is a I don't think they have a SEC win in school history, do they?
That is correct. They do not have one. They're 0-7 all time, which got me thinking. So State all time, if I'm correct, and I could be wrong, but I think State all time is 4-2 against the Pac-12. I think they've beaten Washington once. They lost 2 to Oregon. I'm sorry, 3-2, and then beat Arizona these last 2 years. I think that's the only games they have. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think I am.
0-6 and 4-2.
Yeah, something like that.
So, if history repeats itself, here we are. But you got to go play the game, and State's going to have to go. It's not going to be easy. Like I don't think this is going to be the game that a lot of us thought it would be preseason. I think this team, this program has proven that they're getting their crap together under Dillingham, who I think has the ability to be a really good coach. And I've liked how he's kind of addressed this week, because like I said, you know, this is a week that everybody's been patting them on the back over there. They haven't had a whole lot to cheer about. And so they're riding high. And what he's saying is, we haven't proven anything yet. We just beat Wyoming. It's kind of like Mississippi State. I mean, that was a nice week one, but Jeff Lebby came out of that actually upset. And there's nobody at Mississippi State that's riding high right now. There's a lot for this team to prove. And all those players feel the same way. I mean, there's nobody that's getting patted on the back over there. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic of it. Does Arizona State come in a little cocky, come in thinking they're going to sleepwalk through this thing because of what they did last week? I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see.
We will see. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. By the way, Rob, we do have one issue here. I have no idea how long we've been talking, but to give you guys a little inside baseball, we had some technical difficulties, and so we've just been on this call, and Beham Dog 54, you may get your wish on this one. I don't know. I don't know how long we've been talking, so we'll make it.
Has there been any more technical difficulties?
No, we're good. We're good on
okay,
that.
Good. So, good.
That was a headache though for quite a while there.
It was a headache.
Our friends of the Mississippi Beef Council want to see you grilling beef this weekend. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. be it steaks or burgers, if we're going to go, I mean, you got till 9:30, man. You got all day. Put a brisket out there. Put some tri-tip on the grill, a picanha, some chuck roast, whatever it is. Robbie's doing, you're doing Mississippi pot roast this weekend, right? Is that correct?
Right.
What a treat. That's good stuff. You guys need to be more like Robbie.
I'm doing some wings too, but that's not beef, obviously.
Beef wings?
No.
I would love to see beef wings. I've seen pig wings. I mean, I'm sure you can make a cow wing.
Or just be the hoof.
Ooh. Yancey would love it. It would look good on the hoof.
Look good on the hoof.
There you go. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of
pre-Madonna, Brian.
Pre-Madonna.
That's right.
Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And you certainly are looking for it. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, a trip to Two Brothers has to be on your to-do list, as does a trip to the older brother, maybe Starkville's newest restaurant, but it's one of its best already. The home of the fancy sandwich. I got to sneeze. Excuse me. And we're back. The fancy sandwich. The thought of the fancy sandwich made me sneeze. I don't know why, but I love a fancy sandwich. I love the croque monsieur. That's my favorite. Robbie loves the burger there. You like the muffuletta too, right? Or is that your wife? Is that Becky?
Becky's a big it's okay. Yeah. Becky's a big muffuletta.
You're the burger. You like that burger though.
Yes.
That burger is outstanding. It's a blend, I think, of ground beef, bacon, and pork belly. I mean, that's a flavorful blend right there with American cheese and burger sauce. Very simple, but very delicious. That's what all the food at the older brother is. Two Brothers Smoked Meats. We know all about the wings, the tacos, the prime rib sandwich. What's that other thing we like to get there, Robbie? What's that other thing at Two Brothers that we like to get sometimes? What is it called?
Rotten Joe's.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
Go try them out this weekend. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years taking care of their customers. 49 years of taking care of you. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service on something they've sold you, it's a phone call away. Not a 1-800 number phone call, a 601 number phone call. You can talk to the people who made you the sale. They make it easy to get help. They make it easy to help you at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place you need to go before every MSU home game. If you're coming to Starkville, you need to head to Maroon & Co. and get some new gear. And we're going to help you save some money with that. Thunder15 is the promo code. Use it right there at the register. You can shop online as well at maroonandco.com. And you could save 15% off regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Gear you cannot find anywhere else. Logos that you want. Everything maroon and white under one roof. It's right there at Maroon & Co. All right, Robbie, playmaker time. Offensively, are you gonna go shaping, or do you have another way you want to go?
I'm going shaping.
Okay.
Road game, difficult atmosphere, an opportunistic defense. They had two touchdowns last week. You have got to have a great ball game from your starting quarterback, and this guy's been through it. That's the great thing about Blake Shapen is, yeah, he's a transfer, but he played in the same league that this team's playing in now, in the Big 12, and he's played some big-time ball games. This atmosphere is not going to faze him, but you still need him to come out, play really well, and set the tone in this ball game. So I think he needs to come out in the first possession, lead State down the field in some form or fashion, score a touchdown, and stay healthy too, by the way. We need to see a lot less of those big-time shots that he's taken. Mm-hmm. Get down on the ground. I like him scrambling. I like him eating up chunks of yards like he did, but do it a little more gracefully, I guess.
I'm going to try to stay away from shaping as much as I can. I feel like that's a given, right? Especially in this offense. But I understand where you're coming from. I do. You're correct in that when you go on the road, if your quarterback plays poorly, you're screwed. You're not winning that game. But my play of the game, I'm going to go Kevin Coleman here. I think, obviously, the receiving, he's going to be a big part in that. He's a big matchup problem there in the slot. And then what I saw from him as a punt returner, yeah, I know they're not going to throw him the ball the way they did last week on those punts, but he will. I think he's going to break one return, maybe not for a touchdown, but to give puts MSU in great field position. I think Coleman is. I know we're going to pick an X factor, but he is going to be an X factor for Mississippi State all season long. He is a guy that everybody's going to have to account for. And with Akari coming onto the field, he'll draw some attention away from Coleman, or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe Coleman draws some attention away from Akari. And those two guys, I think, will have big games for Mississippi State. What about defensively, Robbie? What do you think?
You say Brandon Jennings on defense. I think you're going to need a guy that gets after the quarterback, was oh so close to forcing a fumble last week. I think it was borderline. It could have very easily been called a fumble. But he actually got after the quarterback. I think he's a guy that can stop the run, too. You need a little bit of both this week. You need to be able to stop the run and put pressure on Leavitt. That's a guy that I think could be primed for a big game. That's a really hungry player. He has been hungry to get back on this level and to prove himself. This is a big-time game, and I think he's a guy that has the ability to show up big for you this week.
I feel like State's got to get pressure this week. They have to do that. I think I picked this guy last week, but I got to pick him again, and that's Trevion Williams. He has got to get after the quarterback this week. He's got to create mismatches. He's got to be able to be that player we thought Mississippi State was signing a couple years ago. He's got to be that guy. This is a Big 12 team. It used to be a Pac-12 team, which means just from a physical standpoint, Trevion Williams should have an advantage over these guys. He should be bigger and stronger than them. I mean, that's not a stereotype. That is what it is, SEC versus Big 12, SEC versus Pac-12. So I want Trevion Williams to be a disruptor and to be a guy who sets up guys like Brandon Jennings to be able to make plays because he's eating up blockers. That's what I don't need want that from Trevion Williams. I need it. Mississippi State needs that from Trevion Williams this week. What about from the X factor? Who do you have?
My X factor, Sadu Traore. Zero catches on 3 targets last week. But it's like I talked to Justin Ball this week about it, talked to Jeff Levy about it. He was a round play all night long, recovered 2 fumbles, was kind of waiting in the wings if something went wrong. He's engaged, and that's what we've talked about with these tight ends that need to be engaged, and he showed that last week. I think he gets paid off this week. I think that this is going to be a game where he makes a big-time play in the red zone, a touchdown, has a big third-down conversion, something like that. There's going to be a play in this game that Sadu Traore makes that saves the game for him, that wins the game, that puts them in position, something of that nature. I think this is going to be an opportunity for him to get on track this week.
Very good. I got a really odd one for you. I don't know that I've ever picked the punter before, but I was really, really impressed with Nick Barmira last week. 2 punts. They looked fantastic. And this is a game where I think there's going to be a lot of scoring in this game. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of punting in this game, but when that opportunity comes for State, they got to be able to pin this team deep and make them drive 80-plus yards for touchdowns. And I don't know if Arizona State can do that all night long. So Nick Barmira is going to play a huge role. State needs him to be around that 45 yards per punt. Again, this will be the only time this year I pick him. I just want to give him some credit. I don't know that I've talked enough this week about how good State special teams were. I know they botched the field goal, but beyond that, punt return, punting, kickoffs, everything was really good. Was really good, really clean, except for that one field goal, which I think, you know, with Hayes Hammond, that's a guy I trust to snap the ball. That, you know, we would say if he snaps 100 balls, 99 would be great. That was the one for him. So I'm just telling you, the punting game, that hidden yardage of the punting game could be huge for Mississippi State. We know they're going to get return yardage. They need the other side of that. So when State punts, they need to limit that return yardage. Barmira will be a big part of that. What are you doing for a prediction?
I've gone back and forth on this week, but I'm just going to stick with my prediction on the game that State goes and wins this ball game, and it's just because my mind has not changed all that much on Mississippi State. It has on Arizona State, so I think it's going to be closer. But I think State finds a way to win up there in a tough environment. I'm going to say 34-30, Mississippi State wins.
34-30?
Yes.
You and I are very close on this one. I liked Bill Connolly's margin of victory. I'm going to add 10 points per team. 38-35, Mississippi State gets the win here. I think this is going to be a very similar game than it was last week for Mississippi State, that they'll get points, but they're playing a better opponent, so they'll give up some more points, and they won't get as many points, but they'll get enough to win. I think State wins a very close game. Could be a game where State's up like 38-28 and then like 5 minutes to go, and then Arizona State gets a late touchdown to make it a little bit of squeaky bum time, as they might say. But we'll go from there. I think State gets this win and goes to 2-0. Sets up a big game with Toledo and then potentially a massive game with Florida if they can get this win. We'll find out what happens. All right, Thunder and Lightning post-game live as soon as I can when this one ends. It's going to be late. I've been told, I could be wrong on this, Mississippi State's not doing a post-game show on this one because it's so late in the evening. So they're going to do a pregame show, and then when the game ends, it ends. So you don't have to worry about it. You just come straight over to Super Talk's YouTube page and check me out there. Also, give you guys a heads up, and I think I've mentioned this a few times on social media. I don't know that I've mentioned it here on the podcast. I will be live at the Boomtown Biloxi Casino on Sunday at the Event Center. We're doing a $20 all-you-can-eat and drink. It's a great game day buffet. It's hot dogs with a hot dog topping bar, wings, sliders, and then all-you-can-drink bottled beer and seltzers. $20. They're going to have the Saints on the big screen down there. We'll be talking. It'll be great. So come check that out. But because of that, win or lose, Sunday's podcast is going to be late because I got to drive back from the coast to get up here with Robbie to do that pod. So late podcast on Sunday, but you will have the TNL postgame YouTube show available to you on all day Sunday if you want to listen to that. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.